Every day you trust your gut, and that gut feeling can lead to a kick in the guts, but your gut instinct was right, so you bust a gut because someone will have your guts if you don't. You know what your gut deserves? Glenillan Farm Yogurt. Bursting with live cultures, it's the daily way to keep your gut happy and healthy. And tastes delicious to boot. Choose Irish, choose local, choose Glenillan Farm.
Welcome to the Dope Black Dads podcast, a place where we are changing the narrative and having progressive conversations about black fathers, as well as creating a safe digital space for the community. This is the Dope Black Dad podcast. My name is Marvin Harrison. Today we have our brothers in arms back together. The band are back together. What's the band this month? We sometimes go between Avengers and boy bands. What boy band would we have been of all time? Are we B2K? Are we Temptations?
What's that tour that's going on at the moment? The
Millennium Tour.
Yeah.
Who in a Millennium Tour would you be?
I didn't even know all the artists on the tour.
Nah, bruv. Don't like you went around in them times, bruv, doing Mario? Like the Usher moves.
Them side steps.
I know Marvin was a smooth thing. I know. He used to do the moonwalk back to girls.
And the gliding.
To the bar.
Back to the bed.
And body popping.
Swagging man them as he goes.
I love you. Bro, I know you were smooth, bro. There's no way that voice just came out of nowhere, bro. Yeah. You've been taking panties off with no hands, no fingers for about 15 years. Getting naked.
Disco life.
What? All right, so what R&B retro person most describes you? I'm going to go Joe for me. I feel like he's my dad.
Yes.
Joe Thomas. Now I don't know.
Don't know Jones. Mm.
Ooh, oh,
that's a good one.
That's a sick one, actually, because he's actually just respected as an artist. Joe's a bit too, like, he just looks like he's on crud always. Like, his tours must be a madness.
Sure.
Go on, man.
I'll shock a blank.
We will give you one.
Mario.
Do you know what? I'm gonna say Cisco in his element.
Wow. Like when
yeah. You know that album, that one album, that was a banger.
The Dragon. Bro, how did him and DMX get on the same song? I have no idea.
Oh man.
DMX was like he wants to punch everyone in the face. And I feel like Cisco has such a punchable face.
He named so many women in that song as well.
Listen, he gassed a lot of women though.
Yeah.
Arnell, LaShawn, Arnell and LaShida. I was like, I don't know what the fuck that is. How are you guys doing this week? What's going on?
Yeah, recovering from C19, from COVID.
Oh no, they got you.
They got me, bro.
I was going to ask you if you're vaccinated, but I feel like this is the type of question that takes us into a whole new podcast. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm great. Get in there. It's a tough one still, but...
How long has it been? What's the journey been? Because some people still don't believe it's real. They feel like people made this up.
Nah,
is it real?
It's real. Don't get it twisted. It's real. And it affects everyone differently. So, it's 100% real. I felt ill. Had a really bad sore throat. Then I had, like coughing fits. And then I took loads of pills and vitamins and stuff. And then started to get better. But now I'm just in like a lethargy state. Like I'm so exhausted and tired. So obviously there's been an internal battle happening in my body, which has rendered me tired. I'm exhausted, like really tired. But it's real. Do not get it twisted. It's definitely real.
I've had it twice, yeah. And one of the most bizarre things is when people come to me like, I don't think it's even real. And you just look at them and you just say, you're one of those.
Yeah.
I don't get into the vaccination talk because that's your personal preference, yeah. But do not tell me that what I had is the same as the cold I get annually. Sure. That is not the same.
It's not the same.
But dude, the thing is, there's a point where you have it and you're like, this is not the same. My body isn't reacting like it normally does. No. Normally I need a nap and some lemons.
And it's like the constant changes. So it would be like the heavy coughing, then a dull headache, then tiredness, then fatigue, then the coughing. And it's like, bro, make up your mind. Which illness are you?
I think if I had to choose being ill,
that would be the one that I would choose last. Like, there's like a, because yeah. it's the thing is, I hate the idea of being slightly conscious to the idea that I'm okay. Like, I feel like, am I okay? No, 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 no. You tried to, I tried to walk from one side of the room to the other to get something and lie back down. When I finished, I fell asleep. It took me an hour and a half to like, I was like, I'm going to bed because I tried to get up and pick something up from the other side of the room.
Literally.
No. In our play, as the Jamaican man would say. So today, I want to talk about black hair, actually. Not because we're just launching. So we are launching Dope Black Hair, which is a platform to talk about hair from all intersections. So men, women, children, you know, all different backgrounds or types of hair, black and mixed hair, all those different things, the conversations that need to go on. So we're launching that platform in the next couple of weeks. But actually, because one of the guests that featured on this podcast, Lamaya Cherie, she came on here and obviously talked about her journey about doing, I think it was a master's in at Cambridge. But she's also now leading this APPG group about hair discrimination in the UK and trying to get black hair to be made protected characteristic. I'm going to try and read more about it. So a group of campaigners want discrimination towards people with Afro-textured hair to be officially classed as a form of racism, which sounds good. A letter signed by members of Parliament, Kim Johnson and Wera Hubhouse, say that those with Afro or textured hair should be legally protected from discrimination. The letter asks for the Equality and Human Rights Commission, whose job it is to make sure all people are treated equally in the UK, to make Afro hair a protected characteristic by adding it to those listed in the Equality Act. The campaigners say that the aim is to raise awareness of hair discrimination in the UK and highlight the ways in which people with Afro-textured hair are treated unfairly. They say that there are many examples of adults and children being discriminated against because of their textured hair, such as children being treated unfairly in schools and adults being untreated negatively in the workplace. The group say hair discrimination can be obvious, as using offensive words to describe a person's Afro, to touching someone's textured hair without the permission to do so. For me, this feels like I thought it was already a part of the protected characteristics. But when I think about it logically and I go back to, you know, kids not being allowed in schools, being told to cut off their dreadlocks or being forced to cut their hair in school by someone with scissors, like an absolute maniac, you know, I think obviously, no, it can't be because these things will never be able to happen. Like, what, you know, what, how does this make you feel? Like, I feel like obviously it should be long overdue, but what are your thoughts on it?
It makes me angry. It is frustrating and infuriating that, you know, that some of our young people have to go through this, you know, nonsensical bollocks. You know what I mean? Like, cut your hair off with scissors. I dare my daughter call me and tell me.
Yeah, exactly.
Teachers and cut your hair off with scissors, brother. It's just poor cultural awareness, isn't it? Like, really, really poor. You know, and devastating for those children. You know, your dreads, your plaits, your braids, they're your powers. That's your identity. And it's removing your identity, isn't it? Someone saying that your identity doesn't matter because someone behind you can't see, or I don't think it complies with what we've done for the last 100 years. You know what I mean? But I am Black British. You know what I mean? And, you know, this is what it means. This is my identity. And this is, I'm fully present here. So I can't cut my hair off or cut my child's hair just to support your agenda.
I'm completely the same. Like, it gets me vexed just thinking about kids having to deal with that, whether it's bullying or, you know, that kind of unconscious bias from people just because of their hair. Something which naturally grows out of our hair. This is the way our hair grows. It's not even like people are necessarily doing something to their hair other than just allowing it to grow naturally. And for people making an issue with that, and I think it's particularly problematic for me because they don't know what it feels like. So, you know, you look at many other, you know, races, their hair will grow in a particular way. We're the only ones with Afro hair. And so it's a bias towards us, or unconscious, or not even unconscious, a conscious bias towards us, where because their hair may grow down, our hair grows up, it's all of a sudden it's problematic. So yeah, like Marlon said, make someone call me and let me know that they're trying to cut my son's hair in school. And yeah, they'll have hell to pay.
I think I'm, because as you were talking, yeah, I started talking to myself. You know, when you go in your own head, and you start reenacting what's going to happen. It's like,
This is the phone call.
Oh, okay, you touch my son. Oh, and you pull scissors out by his hair. Yeah. All right, I'm on my way. And like, I know when I get there, I will go and I'll be like, so tell me what happened. And whatever happens after that point, someone's getting dragged. I know.
Yeah.
Because there's no logic. 100%. There's no logic. Mm. And my thing is, yeah, if they try to enforce it and say it out of their mouth, I wouldn't get to that level. You touch my child with scissors, though, Lord. Lord. Your building's going. You're going to have to get a new building. The school has moved 7.5 miles away. And it's so weird, yeah, like how, like there's not many things that can get me there. Like obviously, like sexual abuse is like a, if by it, you know, someone in school or does something sexual to my child, it's happened. There won't even be the, because my son has been given the language to say these things and to call these things out, not only in the presence there in the moment, but to come back and tell me. So, you know, all these things, but that for me just feels like it's a cold violation of like his own agency, like to go in and adjust what his appearance is without any form of consent from him or from me. That's wild. And you know, I'm going through this motion of like me going in and being like, so, Mr. So, and somehow I see there's like a white lady, a Karen, who's like hands on her hips. Well, we felt that. And I could just see, how the logic of like, you're not allowed to touch a woman, Marvin. I know that there's a button that you can press that accesses me where it's just like, it's just rage. This is one of them. This is something that's just really wrong about touching our children. And I keep hearing these stories that go around. I keep hearing these stories of schools being, you know, I think there was one school in Vauxhall that told their pupils that they can't wear head wraps, they can't wear dreadlocks, they can't wear, and then they all went on strike and the head teacher was like trying to be righteous about it. I think he ended up apologizing, but I think also he may have got suspended some of them afterwards. Something, it didn't fully end on the land on the right of justice. Have your children ever talked to you about like evasions of rights and privacies at schools or anything like that? Marvin smiled.
Do you know what? The thing for me, I'm very conscious to any type of violation at my son's school. I mean, I'll probably make his mum sick because anything that pops off, whether it was when he's in secondary school now, and I pulled him up already, but anything that happened in primary school, like I was on it. And I feel like when I was younger, my dad, obviously my dad, he's quite a physical person. And so, you know, my mom, small little Jamaican lady, my dad, this 6'3", you know, big black man, he used to come to the school whenever it got on top and he'll put the teachers in their place. But I'll be honest, it was a little bit aggressive, a bit intimidating. And, he would offer you out, let's go around the corner and kind of, you know, let's square up type of thing. So I think coming from that and seeing that growing up, in my mind, it's like, okay, I'll be honest, when he was young, when my son was younger, I had that same type of energy. It was like pure aggression, any type of violation when he was in nursery or anything like that. I'm like, you know, if that child hits my son again, look out for the parent I'm choking in the playground, because that's the parent of the child that's hitting my son. Like, so that was how I was when I was younger. But now, pen and paper, writing to the governors, you know, contacting the local authority, because I work in local government as well, I kind of know and understand how it works.
I love that you're so mature. Look at you. You're making this podcast rounded.
If they touch my son, then, you know, when I have that blackout, I can't be accountable for what happens in that moment. But I do challenge back. So any type of violation, I don't want to talk. And this is what I say as well. I don't want to make this sound bad, man. I don't rate teachers in a sense where I rate you as if...
I could do it myself.
Like, I rate you as a teacher, but you're not my teacher. So my son will respect and honour you as a teacher, but you're just another adult to me. And if I think you're baby food and I don't rate you, go get your superior and let me reason with them.
Wow, mama's channeling the energy!
So yeah, when it comes to my son, that's my energy. Go get your head teacher. I don't care if they're busy. Get them to call me back. We're going to talk about this.
What I love you is I feel like this is the Marvin that he's been alluding to for about 12 weeks.
No comment. Have to channel it now in a positive direction.
2003, what would have happened, yeah? We met it. We found it. Every week it's going to come out a little bit more.
That's access it.
what I love about what you're saying, yeah, is that it's the duality of, yeah, I want to immediately protect my children and throw them, but I also need to do the formal things and make complaints, because I think Britain is just a place of record. That's the only thing they understand. If it's not formally on record, it's like, no, we don't have this on record. What we have on record is you punching this teacher in the face. And it's like, you just ignored the whole reason why I did that. Exactly. You thought I woke up with a desire to hit people today. No, that's not what I do as a human being. But I do think it's really important to go to the other side and write that letter with the words in it, with as many syllables as you can find, and be like, you bumper clout, ras clout, pussy clout, every clout. Exactly. What do they call it? Jaguar clout, whatever they call it. And so, like, I think it's important to do that.
And I think as well, fuck with their money. Like, if they know they've done something that isn't part of their policy or their procedures, and you're challenging them on it, and you're letting them know, I'm going to go to the governors, I'm going to go to the local authority, I'll go to the Guardian, I'll go to whoever I need to, they're going to second guess themselves, because they can try and be right and unemployed. They're not going to want that. Wow. So they're going to try and keep their job and humble themselves. So, yeah. And it's good for me, for my son to see, because he can see that, you know, what happened at school today, son? Any problems, any issues? I don't mind speaking to your head teacher if there is. And he knows that I'll turn up for him. Because, yes, I'd love to thump down another parent in the playground if it came to that, but that may never happen. So how else can I show my son that I've got his back and I'll fight for him in every circumstance? And, yeah, this is another way.
I just visualized you, like, jumping a parent on the way home in, like, an alleyway. Jake didn't know what he was doing.
Just like, their parents riding. Mom's coming. Yeah,
he's like, and the women running to him. I love creating rumors that you're like a sex god and that women run towards you. I think that's gonna be my part-time job.
I need a whole PR team to defend me.
No. I've got many platforms. I shall be using them all. Don't look at me. Look at him. He does that. He touches them. I don't do it. So then, like, have you ever had a problem at work with your hair? Because I try to think, like, I never really had a problem, but I know my hair was, like, my hair's very, very tight curls when I had it. So I'll comb it and 2 hours later, my hair would be picky. It just would be a nightmare. So basically, this is why I maintained my haircut for the whole time. And then that ruined my hairline because I'm cutting my hair so much. So, like, if I didn't have one, my hair would look picky every 2 hours. Then it's just long. So, and even the word picky is a bit of a thing, really. Like, I don't even know if it's even appropriate terms, but, you know, so I used to cut my hair all the time and then lost my hairline. And now I have nothing going on. Like, even when my hair grows back for like 3 weeks, people will be like, oh, yeah, it looks like you. It just looks all right. I don't, no, you don't look, you're not seeing how there's nothing here. There's nothing. Like, it starts little hair, it's a mad thing. What's been your hair journey?
So mine, I had braids, but just at the top.
Push your teeth.
Yeah, I was doing my thing. It grew long. And then I went to America for about 6 months and then the sun made it grow even longer. So I embraced that for a long time. I remember I worked at this company called Morgan. Remember the clothes shop? They were in Oxford.
Yeah.
They're gone now, so I can talk about them.
is that where all the like middle class Karens go to get their outfits? Young girls,
mainly young girls, like really, really young girls. But you know,
did you enjoy working there, Marlon?
I was good. I kept my job a long time because I didn't. I was polite.
Writing your number down on pieces of paper, a piece of till receipt. tell your story. Sorry.
When I started growing my hair, they were like, we need to check with HR if your hairstyle is going to be appropriate. These times I worked in the stockroom. Well, fuck you. This is how it's going to be. Didn't understand it. But then my mum was like you, Marvin, the queen of writing letters. Like, so my whole time during school, like anything popped off. Mum, these times it was pen and paper. So she helped me construct a letter. I wrote to HR and then they sort of rubbished it. Was like, no, it's fine. He can grow his hair. So anyway, had my hair for a while and then cut it. Did all sorts of mad hairstyles and then cut it. And then, I don't know, as I got to like my mid-30s, it just started to deplete. Like, I don't know. I remember my barber, like, Hardcore Yardie, was like, you know, you have a patch.
Wow.
I was like, hey, listen, bro.
We have a patch.
Exactly.
Fix it.
You're going to have a patch in a minute if you start talking like crap. And then you grow out a little bit. So I had like a little bit of a mini high top for a while. And then I got like a skin fade and then it never reached that height again. And it's weird. It's because I still got my hairline. I still got a hairline. It's just very short. Very short. And that was it really. The hair, and I just embraced it. You know, I'm in my late 30s now. I've had my heyday. A skin fade. Yeah. I missed a skin fade though. I do miss a skin fade. That was my team.
I miss my team. I can't even remember what I looked like. I go back to pictures. I'm like, yes. Who's that? Like,
I'm like, raw. Was my hair really? I had waves. I was.
You had waves. I tried. Did you used to get the Dax? Not the Dax, but the metal tin, the brown bronze tin of
They did it.
Sporting waves. Is it called sporting waves?
Sporting waves.
Sporting waves.
My hair did it just naturally. It just waved like. Just rippled. I had ripples. Yeah, like Caribbean waves.
Bro, wait, that thing, yeah. You dig your hand in, and I didn't know you were meant to melt it, so I had no idea. Yeah, I just digging my hand in this tough thing and trying to rub it and melt it with my hands, and then put it in. That's probably why I have no hair. It was like yanking my hair out, trying to put the string in my hair. But I've heard this rumor that Cunning Lingus is great for hair growth and your beard and your face. Marvin, do you want to talk about that?
In my beard, I trust. My beard.
You're the only one that has extended beard and extended hair, bruv. Do you want to talk to us about the remedies and techniques that you employ to gain this?
I missed that question, but the one you asked about work.
Cunning Lingus, bruv. Come on.
But I think back to the work question. I think what worked for me at the time is
Why are you running?
But I think what was really good for me is I worked in Brixton at the time. So I had plaits throughout my teens, getting into my early 20s, and then I switched over to locks. And Brixton, you just feel like you're in Jamaica or you're in the Caribbean. And so if anything, black people felt like the majority. So yeah, I never really had any problems with my hair with that regard. The odd thing you might get sometimes is someone asks them to touch your hair, but I find as a man, I get that a lot less. But you do sometimes still get people saying, do you know what? I've always wanted to know, what does it feel like? Is it heavy? And they want to ask a couple questions. But I can imagine women would get that a lot more because I tend to think people would find them more approachable on the subject, where me with my stern face and my, standing at work, no one's going to really want to ask to touch my hair.
Yeah.
But,
well, but you might want to let those ones that are bold enough to ask.
Yeah, I hold the line. No one's touching it.
Same.
You know why? As dudes, yeah, there's bare things that we get filtered on behalf, because I know women. There was a TikTok online where this woman was in the bathroom trying to show off her outfit and her look, and literally this white woman who might have been 60 came in and was walking towards this.
I see that, yeah.
I was just like, oh my god, that's horrific. Wild. And she's like, no. She kind of gave me the whole curve. And I was like, that would never ever happen to me. But I do think some people want to touch my bald head really, really. You see them staring at it like, can I touch it? What does it do when I touch it? How does it feel like? Is it cold?
Have children. Children help you remind you that you're losing your hair. I remember my whole journey, my daughter was reminding me, it's like, your hair's getting shorter and shorter. Now you're bald.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah. All the time.
Are you okay, emoji. Daddy? Is life hard for you?
Yeah, she makes me emojis to remind me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what's really key, is that when people make their emojis on Apple or Samsung phones or devices, it's so interesting how people see themselves. Yeah.
On Snap. I'm like, who that?
Yeah, yeah.
That
ain't you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There are people adding hairlines that aren't really there, like giving themselves extended beard matter when it's not there either. Is that how you see yourself? That's interesting. That's not how I see you.
Yeah. Nor does the world. The world doesn't see you like that anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
None of us do.
Countdown to Christmas. It's the most wonderful time of the year, and nothing's going to stop us making the most of every festive moment. Our gift cards can be used in all Tesco stores nationwide, on all groceries, F&F clothing, and Tesco Mobile. And we're offering great discounts on bulk orders for organisations this Christmas. To find out more, visit tescoforbusiness.com and call our team today. For a limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. Tesco. Every little helps.
And if, so for you guys, like, just in terms of your hair journey, like, is there a point where, like, growing up, I used to get picky head all the time. I remember crying one time because people were saying they got picky head. And I was like, bro, I combed this morning, bro. This is not my fault. Like, this is, and I never really thought about it until I did a campaign for Dove hair one time. And they were like, tell us your Dove hair, your hair story. And I was like, my hair story? I don't have a hair story. And obviously, men, we're bulletproof in it, so we don't feel anything. Then I sat there, I was like, what has been my hair? I was like, oh yeah, picky head. Oh yeah. And I just started landing with these old years of just like this gradual journey of my hair just coiling so much. That's the formal term, coiling. Coiling so much that it had so much space in my hair, in the back of my head. And then being ridiculed for that to the point that I started to try and cut my own hair. Actually, that's another thing I forgot. So like I used to get a razor and try and like shave my own hair to a one level. With no shape up, nothing, just raw. But then obviously you never get it balanced because you can't see the back of your head. Yeah. And like, we couldn't afford haircuts every week. My mum was just like, that's a real expense. Like, if you add £20 a month to £5 haircuts every month for your one child when you got four of them, that's completely unworkable. So it's just like, I just used to try and cut it in my hair myself. And it used to be terrible. I used to get taken the piss out of all the time for my hair. I never even remember. I forgot all about that. And so it's always been a bit of a thing of just like, so when I started losing my hair, I don't think I was that particularly bothered in the moment of it, because it actually was happening as I was getting married. So if I go through my wedding pictures, yeah, it's almost like this journey of like engagement party, the last stand of the hairline. And by the time I was like in Jamaica for my wedding, it was like hair is just like, it was like the holding onto the hairline. The hairline was getting higher and higher.
The chalk.
And
then you by just the, wear the chalk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So on the wedding day was the last, it was like goodbye. And I came back and I shaved it off. I shaved it off and I've kind of been this way ever since. But what's weird, yeah, is I think I look better this way. I just look more, I can't see myself with hair anymore. Like, I don't think I want to go back. I think I just look more like a person. That's so weird.
You know what? I remember, I had systematic haircuts. Like, so I had it every week, and then there'll be times where my dad was working night shifts for a couple of weeks, so I wouldn't be able to get it, or, you know, I misbehaved or something. And then one of my boys in my area was like, you can come and do lineup and you can get £5, and that's how you can get a haircut. I was like, oh, So we went to, I remember the police station in Tottenham, right next to Hermitage Road. So bare black boys, you come in there, there's like 30 black boys. And then what they do is they choose 8 of you, and then you go into the room and it's got the lights behind you, and you stand there, and then obviously they're like, stop talking. And then obviously the victim of whatever crime comes through, and then they look at you or look at whoever. And obviously the criminal's in there, you know who the criminal is. So I did that several times, and it was good. £5. But you never anticipate that someone's going to call your name or call your number or ask you, or you're going to look like someone. So anyway, so I'm coming there, turning up. It's all the man then. Oh, go on, get there. And this police officer's got this wad of fives, just handing them out. But anyway, the last time I ever did it, gone in there now, energy was a bit different. And then they were like, number 5, stand forward. And I've never been asked to stand forward. So I'm like, number five, stand forward. I was like, bum, fuck, lad. That's yeah. Me. So I stood forward and I just started crying, bro. Tears are coming down my face. Like, bro, I'm innocent. This is all for a haircut. Come out now. They was like, no, it wasn't you. And that was the last time ever. That story is part of my hair journey. But with the whole coining or picky head thing, My hair did that when it got really long. So if I hadn't had a trim for ages, then it became sort of afro and unmanageable. You know what I mean? It curled up. But my mum had like, I don't know, all this like go-go berry juice and honey and Maduka.
Just so glow.
Yeah. And so yeah, she could put, like, wash my hair and then it would just relax, you know, not relax, but it'd be a little bit softer and manageable. And you have, like, you have to take care of your hair. That's what my mum always said to me.
Do you think there's something in the, even in the word like picky and manageable, that we've even internalized 100%. It? Because like your hair is just your hair. Yeah, it just does what it does. Like, and we've been made to feel that it's unkept or it's like unmanageable or it's bad. Even in the language that we still, I've never really updated how I speak about hair because I've got to a place where I don't engage in it. But like, I do feel like we've internalized some of the sentiment around it and just like, I try not to make my son force haircuts. Like he probably gets a haircut once every 2 months, to be honest. And I'm just like, I don't want him to get in the habit of like, he has to look so sharp and smooth to be seen as a human. And I think there was a little bit of like my mum and the Sunday best vibe. And I think that's what something that she was raised up on, like where Sunday, everyone wore their best clothes, went to church. And I think, you know, you couldn't be out on street with water wash clothes, as my grandma would call them. Like you haven't ironed your clothes. And I think like, there's something about presenting ourselves to be fit in, to be accepted, to be seen as valuable or important. And I think like, I don't really want that labor, you know, like my children, like their clothes, you know, sometimes I see kids and it's obviously freedom of choice, but I see children and they dress incredibly well. They look like they just came out of a Zara factory and like everything. But my children, like they mess up clothes so much. I don't even bother. Like that. I think we've just introduced ironing to my son in his school uniform. My daughter, just wear whatever you want, man. Like, and I don't bother go too hard on like getting brand new stuff over and over again. Everything is Primark because I just don't think it makes sense to like make that effort. And I was thinking the other day because I wanted to do a shoot and I was going to do a shoot with my kids for the kids book. And I was like, oh, it'd be really nice actually to have it styled. And I sat there and thought about like, what am I saying? Like, what am I saying? Am I going to dress my children up, do their hair to present this like really nice model version of what my children should look like? Is it authentic? Like, is that how we actually roll? Because the other day, my daughter took my son's blazer and put it on and she wore it with a dress and she looked sick. But it was a little bit creased up, but like, she looked sick. I was like, oh, look at you with your trainers. Like, this looks all really nice. You've done it, did this on your own. And I was like, I feel like there's a graduation of individual style that I want to preserve. And I think also just like, yes, we want her hair to be tidy. I don't want her to look, you know, unloved. But I also don't want to force a high level of maintenance on her where she's like constantly needing her hair done before she does anything. Like she cannot go to the shop if your hair isn't done and she's got to wear, you know, just like, so what? Like, I don't know. I feel like there's something rebellious here that I'm fighting, but also I don't want to just do things that create more harm because the world is still the world.
Do you know what's funny? As you mentioned that, I don't know if you remember, I don't want to name the brand because I might get it wrong, but there was a child modeling campaign that they did. And there was just the image of a young black girl and her hair was messy. And everyone on social media was going crazy saying, you know, how would they allow her to be presented like that?
H&M. Yeah.
I think it was actually, yeah. But then when they showed the wider campaign, every child had messy hair. And the whole campaign was just about children with messy hair. But it's, as you said, it's the way that, you know, black people were riding for this child and that child having messy hair that we place the significance on it. Mm. Because sometimes sometimes you see French football players, yeah, you know, back in the day and the hairstyles. But sometimes I think other races don't care. They just look at it and they just accept the person, you're banging in goals, they're not bothered. Whereas we place that significance on it. And sometimes I think we code the language for them and we let them know, no, that's not cool, or, you know, we don't really rate that. We would never do that. And then it equips other people to then use it against us. But yeah, sometimes I think we're the ones that make a big fuss. Because even for me, seeing Louis Saha or Didier Drogba and some of those hairstyles back in the day, you would kind of, you know, you would turn your head when you saw them. But, you know, yeah, we're placing that stigma on it ourselves. And I think sometimes we definitely have to be conscious of doing that.
But hold on. So then is that so? Because I think there's a difference between your hair being coily and you relaxing your hair and not maintaining it. Because the references you gave of Saha and Drogba,
they're relaxing them hair. Bro, guys,
they were mad. We need to post them. Like, because it didn't follow any one particular path. It wasn't silky. Because if you know, we've all seen Snoop Dogg where he like relaxes his hair and it's like combed out. And you're like, ah, that's vibes. Do that. I see that. But then when it's like part that, part not, shiny sheen, hair going in a different direction. Everyone. I was like, what was the plan first? It's not even like this is bad. Tell me what the plan is so I know what you were trying to do and if you achieved it or not, because I can't tell from the four different hairstyles you have in your head. So I don't know if like, and this is what I'm saying, like, I don't know if some of it's just universal, like actually we just prefer particular straight lines or textures or things that we are familiar with. When you merge them all and then no one knows what it is, and you think, you don't come out and be like, this is my, you know, this is my belief. If you came out and explained it like, this is who I am, then it'd be like, oh, we get it. Okay, cool, fine, be you. Because I don't think, like, by and large, it's about oppressing people. It's about, like, understanding sometimes. So you got to invite people into your thinking when nobody understands it.
Sure, yeah.
And so those two particular characters, for sure. But did you ever attempt to dye your hair? Because I got close, but I never fully did it. Because Cisco made it really possible to dye your hair platinum, blonde, all that kind of stuff. Did you ever have one of those phases?
You know what? I just want to go back 1 second. So everyone had that done in their school or in their area that had curtains, the black dot. That had curtains on the door that had the French crop. You know, how the fuck did you do that, brother?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we had one of those in our area, but we just ended up making up like legends about them. Like, oh, don't fuck with him. You talk about his hair, like, you'll tear your face off. Like, you just have to add some type of mystique to it.
You got to justify why this is fucking happening. Yeah. Why is this my experience?
I think I only dyed my, I never dyed it. I sprayed it because I had two sisters. So they always had, you know, the mad blue spray and I sprayed it. So I used to get my skin fade and then spray it. And then my sister would brush it in. So it would look like, you know, like the Cisco fade, because his was like platinum, but mine would be like blue and then sort of fade into black. It looked hard. That's the only thing I did with my fake earring, because my dad wouldn't let me get my hair. Oh,
the cubics. The cubics.
From Half Price Jewelers. Remember HP Days?
No, I didn't. Is that a ton of things?
We're green.
Hackney, we don't know that.
They had them. There was a jeweler's called HPJ, and you could go and get like really cheap cubics for like £4, £8.
Damn.
And then as they got dirty, you just buy another one.
Bro, that's one thing. The build up on the back of those things, bro, was out fucking outrageous. People wore them all year round.
Yeah.
Never took them out. So the build up of like soap and gunk and all sorts of things in the back. I think I did have my ear pierced. I never went too big with my cube. Mine were always, because they were always my mum's stolen, because we didn't have no money. So it was like taking my mum always had tiny ones. So I always had that. But I find that phase really bizarre. Like the slits in the eyebrows, the lines in the head. I had a night tick that we dyed blonde as a like experimental, but the night tick was so dodgy. It just looked like it looked like a half a moon, bruv, on the side of my head. It just was horrific. But that's the, as far as I ever got. I think my brother got like the Washington Redskins logo done in the back of his head. And that's what like got me all gassed. And then when I got my version done, the barber was nowhere near as good. And it just looked like shit. So it's just like, I feel like my brother, we did this time one time where we got the hot comb and we like went through our hair to give ourselves like that kid and play afro vibe, because I couldn't grow it. And I just remember my hair not doing what my brother's was doing. And I was like, oh, this is
dead.
You know what I mean? I'm just reliving bed trauma about my hair that I forgot. But my hair wouldn't grow. So it's always been relatively low. I think it's probably been about a level 2.5 or something at the best of whatever it is, however long I keep it. So but I do remember the dying phase. I remember the Cisco phase. I remember the slits in the eyebrow, the line and the parting phase as well. There was a point where the parting phase used to go all the way to the back and twirl into a circle. All of that stuff, man.
I just remembered at school, we weren't allowed skin fades. The school I went to, we weren't allowed to have skin fades. And we used to get
really?
Sent home if we did. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Trauma coming back. And we weren't allowed part-ins. And so if we came back from half term and your hair hadn't grown fast enough and you had a skin fade, you get sent home. And then my dad came down on some smoke, on some Mr. Senior Critchlow smoke. And that was the last time I ever got sent home. And he never told me what he said in the office. He's like, you'll never be sent home for your haircut again. And that was it.
Wow. That's what I'm saying. Dads are superheroes, man. When they're present, they can do some real shit, bruv. It's just like
realness.
Solving problems.
Trust me.
And so is there something like you think in your later years or with your children about how you talk to them, like if these things experience? Have you had that conversation about what to do in these scenarios? Because I'm trying to coach my children into like who to be and what to say, when things happen so they can hold their own corner on their own. Have you had that conversation about things that happen at school? I think school is a minefield, by the way. It scares the life out of me because it's all these children that are raised with different ways and different backgrounds and different ideas, different proximity, understanding of love, interacting with your children all at the same time in a playground. And you just think like, you're going to be told so much mad shit. I just want you to have all the tools. Have you had that conversation of how to like, I don't know, versus what to do versus a teacher versus a pupil?
Yeah, I think for me, it was a lot of it. I mean, my son's growing his hair, so he's got plaits at the moment. And for me, it was just about not letting people touch your hair. I think that was a key one. I don't let no one put their nasty hands in your hair. Like, that was something I remember saying to him, especially when his hair was in that growing phase where he had an afro. Because you know how kids are, they want to put their hands in their hair and they want to touch their hair and stuff like that. So yeah, I think that was the main one. But again, I think because my son's schools are quite diverse, both his primary school and his secondary school, he's one of many. So I think they're equipped to deal with, you know, things like that. I mean, his secondary school is quite strict in terms of, you know, they're not going to allow you to have any colours in your hair, or even for girls, if they've got hair bands in, they need to be a certain diameter. If they're any bigger, you're going to get sent home. So they are quite strict there, but having hair seems to be the norm. So I'm glad that he's able to feel comfortable, because just like the stories that you guys were giving, I remember in school, a lot of it was about what your friends are doing. So, you know, if you had one clique of guys and they had plaits, like almost everyone had plaits in that group, and you'd be the odd one out if you had a skin fade. And then similarly, you'd have the group of guys that had skin fades. And then sometimes the two cliques would kind of merge. And yeah, with my son, it's the same. Like a lot of the friends he has, they have single plaits, or they have cane row. And so, yeah, my main thing is just about teaching him not to allow other people to put their hands in your hair.
I think with my daughter, so she's a little bit older. She's going to be 13. She's very, very savvy. And I set clear parameters around, you know, black is beautiful. No one should ever need to mention your color. And if they do, you know what I mean? She knows the reporting channels, or she'll challenge it because she's extremely articulate and feisty and will throw it back at you immediately. You know what I mean? So I've never really had to worry. And I think there's not many people who won't smoke, but it's a weird phenomenon because I never really experienced racism until I was much older, but she has younger, and some of my nieces and my nephews have wow. experienced.
In what way?
I think one boy called my nephew the N-word.
Damn. Wow.
Yeah. And yeah. So, and my daughter, a girl in our school, this is when she was in primary school, was having a party and said, you know, no black or brown people can come to my party.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and so my daughter came to me and she was like, am I black or brown? Because you say I'm black, but my skin looks brown, and but yeah. It's a lighter brown. So am I allowed to go to this party or not? And in Damn. My head, I wanted to say to her, so I teach her Wing Chun. I'll be like, go and do the first formula.
Yeah.
And we'll get the address and we're rolling to the party. I'm a singing your cousins.
Don't do the first formula. Oh my lord. Can you tell us what the first formula is? Because I need to visualize it. First form, tell me the first.
Go beat that. Zero tolerance. So that was quite painful to manage, because you know, I never had to go through that until I was well into my teens, you know what I mean? And you've got this whole generation of young people who were doing it much, much, much earlier. So it's painful for them. But I, because, you know, I was a single father, I had to learn how to do her hair. And, you know, so you've got an idea of what she should have. Two pigtails, that's the one I could do the easiest. And then my mum has a version of what she should have, what little girl should have. Doo-doo plaits. Go to school. Yeah. And then she's got a version of what she wants, you know what I mean? A high ponytail. I don't know the hell that is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you almost have to teach yourself. So I did like a few YouTube vids. My sister showed me what to do. My fiance showed me a little bit what to do. You know what I mean? So you sort of learn and pull it together. But now she's old enough to do it herself. The more time she has extensions.
Honestly, yeah, my mum is the Wing Chun of like my children's hair, because my son will come back and he will have braids. And I'm like, how did you achieve braids with the level of high top that he had? And she will find a way of massaging that hair, oiling it up, getting it like really high, and then twist it all to, and he comes back looking like I was like Jaden in Karate Kid. And I'm like, how did you do this? Like, and my daughter has these extravagant patterns where it like weaves in and out. And it's like, I just like, I'm miles from, this is the reason why I have imposter syndrome about doing hair. I won't try, because that's the levels, and I need to get over it, because I think it's an incredible bonding experience more than anything. I want to be able to sit with my daughter. Like, it's a good hour exercise to like sit with her and to do that. But also just like, I wanted to feel like she can get stuff from me and see men in that way. Like, I have this whole thing of she's going to date either a version of me or the complete opposite of me. And like, I would rather show her the healthy version of how a man should be than be like, I don't want anything like my dad and go searching for the opposite in the world. And so I got to show up in all these rooms, man. Cool. Guys, is there anything else that kind of comes to mind that you want to catch up? We kind of done Black History Month now. We did Black Family. We did Black Excellence. But yeah, we've done our series now for Black History Month. We've covered all of the bases. And next month, we'll go into the new topic. So guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate you all for joining. I say all, like there's like bare of you. I appreciate you both joining. I feel like this is like therapy. And I'm really, really passionate about Black hair. And I'm going to make sure this platform launches really, really soon and we start standing for things, because I think it's one of those areas that we always slightly underestimate how much it has meaning to us as an identity, but also how much it gets attacked by people. And it's like a whole thing. Like, I'm just learning about my beard now. And so every day, and I think my beard has looked, this is the healthiest it's probably ever looked, but like, I started to actually oil it on a daily basis. I've got this conditioner. I get from Beard Culture London, who's obviously one of the Dope Black Dads. He sent me a little parcel and I've been using it and I'm like, ah, look at this man. Hey. And then like Bevel sent me a package. So I've been using Bevel for the last 6 months. And I'm like, I really need to start making an effort, man. And like, I always use like alcohol in my hair now when I'm like post shaving it to like make sure it doesn't get bumps or anything in it. Just like there's a whole effort and routine that I've now started to do to maintain. And I'm just like, actually, we need to like talk about this and own this a little bit more. I think one of the most popular posts still on Dope Black Dads is how to shave your own hair in a lockdown with a fade. Like, okay, it got like 1,500 people were like, yes. And the most reshares. I was like, wow. But obviously it's an area that we just don't know. Cool. Thank you guys so much. And I'll speak to you next week. And obviously we can catch up. I want to do an IG live as well, actually, on something. Because I did one yesterday and I had loads of fun. And then people were like, we're so glad you talked about this. And I was like, yeah, why don't we do IG lives? We could just have a chat. Marlon, you take over Dope Black Dads because I know you're in hiding. And I'll take over mine. And then Marvin, you jump on yours. And we'll have a conversation at some point.
Yeah, no, sounds good.
Cool. All right, then, guys. See you on the other side. And so thank you guys for listening. I really much appreciate it. We'll be back next week with another episode. You can find us at Dope Black Dads on all social media platforms. You can also email me for a chat at hello@dopeblackdads.com. Thank you so much for listening, my brothers. I appreciate you all. We'll be back next week.
Jake shopped up to 40% off with the Amazon Early Black Friday deals. So now, he can be Big Cake Jake. And armed with his new 7-speed handheld whisk, he's treating his street to a whole new world of sweet. But first, he's taking a trip down to Icing Town. Get whisked away with the Amazon Early Black Friday deals, 8th to the 18th of November.
Here at B&Q, we've launched our brand new website, DIY.ie. Browse thousands of products available for home delivery and 1 hour click and collect. Visit DIY.ie today. You can do it when you B&Q it. Delivery and click and collect available on selected products and locations. Restrictions apply. Delivery charges may apply. See DIY.ie.